Have you ever loved somebody the way God loves somebody? And he loves you.
Thank you for tuning in to There's Nothing New Under the Sun. This is yours truly, Pastor C. We are in the Sanctuary Studio in Forestville, Maryland. I'd like to wish everyone a happy Thursday. Truly, this is the day that the Lord has made, and we shall and we will rejoice and be glad in it. I believe I have on the line with me tonight my big sister, Sheila G. Sheila G., you on the line with us tonight?
Yes, sir, I am.
Praise God. And my good friend and mentor, Dr. G., you on the line with us tonight?
I'm here.
Praise God. Good to be back on a Thursday night in the DMV. Truly, God has blessed us from last week to this week. So we say to God be the glory for the great things that he has done. And we know, amen, that we always say man can always boast about a lot of things, but a man can't make a day. So we thank God for this day that the Lord has made, and we shall rejoice and be glad in it. And so we're going to start off with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, it's in Jesus' name that we humbly bow, God, and thank you for another privilege, another opportunity to get together and study your word. And Father, we pray that you will bless us, that we'll be able to study to show ourselves approved unto you, that we can be workmen that need not be ashamed, but rightly dividing your word of truth. Bless us, God, that we will be able to apply this word to our lives, share it with others. And as always, God, we pray that this will be done to your glory, and we ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, Sheila G., on last week, we were talking about the word of God and how you can stand on the word of God and how that word will help you and give you strength to deal with everyday life. And we were looking at the 25th chapter of the book of Acts, and we're seeing how the Apostle Paul, that through the years of his life, and particularly his life of ministry, is he standing on the word of God because of his personal relationship with God, him knowing God's word. And that is the sense of for the 21st century church of people when we talk about your personal relationship with God. And I think sometimes people may get confused or really don't understand it. But the personal relationship with God is like the psalmist said, his word has we hid in our heart that we might not sin against God. In other words, our personal relationship with God is knowing his word. We get to know him through his word. And when you get to know him through his word, what happens is you get to know his spirit. You get to know his Holy Spirit. And as you get to know his word, you get to know his spirit. What happens is the spirit begins to teach you how to deal with everyday life situations. And then even though we have this gift in earthen vessels or these physical bodies that we have, that when we have this personal relationship with God and the Holy Spirit, it helps us to be able to deal with every aspect of our life. And so we're witnessing that through Paul, his experience on the road to Damascus with Jesus and the Spirit knocking him off his high horse and blinding him and speaking to him, asking him, you know, Paul, why persecutest thou me? It's hard to get kick against the pricks. And he says, Lord, what would you have me to do? And because Paul knew God's word, he finally understood that you weren't saved by the law, but he came to understand that you were saved by grace through faith in Jesus Christ, and that the law, the word that he had learned so well, was pointing to Jesus all along. And so once he got that and he understood that, then he was saved by grace through faith in Jesus, began to start seeing how the Holy Spirit ministered, how the Holy Spirit helped him to be able to understand the word better, and how to be able to live a life of Christ and for Christ. So this is what we see where Paul is at in his ministry of his personal relationship with God. He's going from court to court. He's going from, I call it, one jackleg governor to the next jackleg governor, from the one jackleg religious person to the next jackleg religious person. Nothing new under the sun. We see this crazy stuff that's going on in society in the 21st century. It's the same crazy stuff that went on in the first century. Same power-loving, money-grubbing, gripping folk. But if you learn the word of God, you have the Holy Spirit teaching you how to use the word and apply it to your life, you can get through life, and you can get through these challenges because you have the Spirit that teaches you how to deal with that. And so Paul was able to do it. It's like 2 years later, we went in chapter 25, Paul is still dealing with this same old crazy stuff. He's still dealing with it, and he's still standing on the word of God. But it all goes back to what we were talking about at the end of last Thursday, is that our relationship with the word, relationship with God, helps us get through or helps us to deal with what life throws at us on a regular basis. Sheila G.
Amen. You know, as you were talking, and I always, when you speak, God always gives me like a natural analogy to what the Spirit is talking about. And it made me think of home training by our parents. And it's almost like God gives us Holy Ghost training. And what I mean by that is that when we're brought up, you know, one of the things that we've been saying about these kids that are stealing cars and shooting each other and doing all these things, the first thing comes to our mind is, where are the parents? Where's the home training?
Amen.
Just like Paul's relationship with God and the Holy Spirit leading and guiding him and teaching him how to resist the pressures of the world that want him to act a certain way, that's how it is with our home training with our parents. When we grew up, and our parents taught us to do a certain thing, behave a certain way, act a certain way. Just because your friends jump off the bridge, you don't jump off the bridge. How to deal with the peer pressure. Just because somebody else stole something, you don't steal something. You know, teaching us about how to be a character, taking us to church, breaking it down as we grew up. So that once we got out there and all those temptations came to us, there was something because that relationship that we had and that home training from our parents that kept us. We would go a little far. We would lean into temptation, but it kept us from going too far because of that parent-child relationship. So that as we grew up, we carried that. Even when your parents weren't looking, I remember being in college and I was like, nah, I can't do it. And I'm all the way up in Pennsylvania. Ma was in Maryland, but I was like, nah, I can't do that. I mean, I did my little dad's, but I wouldn't go but so far. And that's because of relationship. And it's like the Holy Ghost relationship is what Paul had with God, where it's like, okay, lead God, direct my path. Same thing with us. So that your conscience, your soul, your spirit gets troubled when you try to do that. But if you don't have that relationship, just like a lot of these young kids out here that are doing things that we would never do, we never take a gun or kill or just steal a car for joy, because they didn't have that parent-child relationship, so that when they were out there, you always heard that parent's voice, you always heard that parent's guidance and that development in order for us to carry on. And it's almost like that Holy Ghost home training is what Paul is experiencing, is showing now.
Amen, amen. I like that analogy. Dr. G, help me out here. What is it that during Paul's standing before all of these accusers that keeps him from waffling? You see these guys in the positions of power and authority, the religious leaders and the political leaders, they all waffle. They don't stand on the truth. They kind of like chameleons. They'll be one thing over here and one thing over there, all to stay in power. But what is it that we're looking at with Paul, that he's able to stand in the midst of all of these challenges on the truth, despite what the consequences are? Dr. G.
Well, you know, you said it in the beginning, that personal one-on-one relationship that he had with the Lord. And I too, like Sheila's analogy. And see, we have to remember that Paul was brought up as a Roman, so he knew what the law was. But it's something about the Holy Spirit when it gets a hold of you, and when he has his mind set that he wants you, he's going to do what he has to do to bring you in. And Paul went through that, you know, on the road to Damascus, had to, like you said, had to be knocked down off that high horse. And whatever it did, you know, the Lord got his attention. So Paul then understood where God was coming from. And from there, as he grew, the more he grew, the more he went through, you know, he was more determined than ever. That's why Paul in all those letters says, for me to live is Christ and to die is me. So Paul had already been convinced. And that's something that the rest of people, you know, all of us have got to get to the point that we're convinced that we know what it is, that we know the Lord, not just know about him, but we know him.
That's powerful. And Sheila, you just want to go back to that point, is when you know him for yourself. And it's not what somebody told you or what you heard or what grandma's church or granddaddy's church. It's like when you know him for yourself. And I think that is the key. And like you were saying, with what's going on in this world with the young people and so many people, is I think they're going on what they think they know about God, about the Holy Spirit, instead of what they know. And once you know him for yourself, and the songwriter said that you can't make me doubt him because I know too much about him. I know too much about him in my heart. And I think that's where we are, and every generation is there and has to deal with that in society, of people that are just religious and they think they know God, and what they do based upon what they think instead of what they know. It's a difference of thinking you know, but when you know for yourself, then that makes a difference. And I think, like you said, the home training, what Dr. G brought out so well, is that you're not easily shaken, because you know him, you know his word, you know how to deal with things. And so when it comes on you, things of life come on you, you might be taken aback, you might be thrown down, you might be knocked down, but then you go back and say, I still serve the same God that picked me up and carried me all this way when I was in that situation. The same God that was with me when I was in this problem or in this situation. The same God that touched me here or healed me here or made a way for me here is the same God is going to help me in this situation. And that's what the Holy Spirit will do when you find yourself, because sometimes the enemy will come upon you fast and strong and get you to try to question. But when you have that relationship with God, the Spirit is like, don't worry about it, boo. God's got this. He remember what he did right here? You remember how he brought you through here? You remember what he did over there? And because he did that, that same God, amen, is going to get you through here. So pull that word up that tells you that I'll never leave you nor forsake you. Pull that word up that says, behold, I am the Lord thy God. I change it up. Pull that word up is that says, behold, I'm the Lord God that healeth thee. Pull that word up that says that you can do all things through Christ and give me strength. Pull that word up that says no weapon formed against you shall prosper. Yes, they're going to use it. And yes, you might be got knocked down on your butt, amen. But God has the ability, amen, to let you know that he is the rock, amen. Yeah. And even when you hit rock bottom, amen, God is the rock that you can stand on, amen. And he's able to pick you up. He's able to dust you off. He's able to turn you around. He's able to put you back in line. He's able to wipe your slate clean. He's able to allow you to understand that I didn't like to sin, but I've forgiven you of the sin, so you don't have to carry that thing no more because I am the one that threw it in the sea of forgetfulness, never to bring it back up again, so you can say I can stand on the promise of God. And people will tell you about your past, amen, but you tell them about your future in God. And because you have a relationship with God, you don't look down on people. You don't bemoan people because you know if it wasn't but for the grace of God, amen, you would be in a worse situation. Paul said, I was the chiefest of sinners. But because my God who looked past my fault and saw my need, by his grace, by his stripes, I can truly love people in spite of people. But if you don't know him, you might think you know him, but if you don't know him, you can't minister in a way like that. And I think that's why that's the challenge of every generation is getting people to truly know God and have a personal relationship with God. And when you go through these trials, and that's why I'm so glad the Bible shows that the life of a Christian isn't always easy, that there's ups and downs, there's challenges, that people will call you everything but a child of God. But because you're a child of God, amen, you can rely on the Holy Spirit, and in times of need, in times of struggle, in times of trouble, you can stand on the word and the promises of God. You can hold on to God through the power of the Holy Spirit and still do the things according to his will in Christ Jesus. Sheila G., help me out.
Amen, amen. In order to do that, you have to be ready, because when the Satan hits you, you aren't going to have time to get ready. You have to be ready. And by being ready, you have those scriptures, you have that song, you have that relationship, so that when Satan, because he'll sneak up on you, he's a sneaky rascal. He's
going to
give you the plan ahead of time. Oh, next week on Tuesday, there's going to be this problem on your job. You're going to be stuck. Then all the kids, all the kids are going to break the system. So now you need to get ready. No, you have to be ready. In order to be ready, you got to have Bible study. You have to have your own devotional time. You have to have your prayer. You have to have Sunday. You have to have church service so that you can be ready instead of trying to get ready when Satan sneaks up on you. Then you don't have time, you know. And I think about it, you know, God, it's funny that we're talking about this because God was giving that to me this week about don't just get ready. You got to be ready. And he took
be
me
ready,
to
yeah.
when all the kids at ready for school and how the night before we would pull out their outfits, I pull out their clothes, I pull out this one, make sure this, make sure lunch is packed, all that, so that in the morning, if something happened crazy, at least that part will be done. I did not wait until the next morning to pull out who's going to wear what, who's going to put on what.
Right.
Homework? Did you not do your homework? We have to be ready. We can't wait till that thing comes up. If Paul, God made sure that Paul was ready for this. And if he didn't, wasn't ready, and then waited till all this stuff came on him and then try to get ready and try to be have the Holy Spirit to pull on,
it's too late.
Wouldn't have worked. He would have kicked his tail from here to there. And that's the same thing with us. We have to continuously. We can't just do a little dab-a-do-ya, a little scripture here, maybe church once a week, maybe once a month, maybe Bible study, you know, wait till something happens. Now I'm going to pray. No, you need to get in that word every day. You need to talk to him every day. You need to come
sing, on now.
Whatever, give that praise, worship every week to so that you are all ready. You have to be ready. You cannot get ready for when Satan comes to you.
Amen, amen. Dr. G, you want to chime in on that?
Yeah, and I think Sheila really hit it all good. She was saying you got to be ready. You know, the Bible talks about praying without ceasing, and, you know, that's something that a lot of so-called Christians, I'm going to say so-called, folks who profess Christ, but yet when it comes to really living the life for him, when stuff happens, and stuff is going to happen in all of our lives, they fall apart. Because, as we say, you know, they don't have that personal one-on-one relationship. Now, they put on a front for church folks.
Yeah.
But when the stuff hits the pan, you've got to know Christ yourself.
Mm-hmm.
You've got to, as you were preaching, you got to know who's who. Mm-hmm. And that stuff of getting ready, no, there is no such thing. Not when you're in the body of Christ. That's why you take each day and you thank God for it. But you put on that whole armor of God every day so that when the enemy comes, you've got
to
be ready.
Amen, amen. That's good stuff. You gotta be ready, and you know that is all the way back to the book of Genesis, and oftentimes we refer back to that first chapter of the book of the book of Genesis, the first, second chapter of the book, first, second, and third chapter of the book of Genesis, where Satan came after Eve, and Adam was right there with her, but when the devil called God a liar to Eve, Adam was slipping. He wasn't on his game. And you got to understand, amen, that he looks for those openings. And he's always probing. The Bible says he's like a roaring lion going to and fro the earth, seeing who he may devour. And he looks for those openings, and that's why you got to stay prayed up, pray without ceasing, keep that whole armor of God on, because he's always probing.
Yep.
He's always trying to find a way. He's got these fallen angels that he deputizes. They're always trying to find a way, trying to find something. I don't care what time of day it is that I'm on the road. And Dr. G, you don't have to get out there that early anymore. But praise the Lord. But if I'm on the road at 3 o'clock in the morning, there's somebody that's always going to try me. There's somebody that's always going to try to run me off the road. There's someone that's going to drive like a lunatic. Every morning. I'm not talking about just some mornings. Every morning there's somebody doing something stupid on the road, and I'm trying to maintain, trying to, you know, do what I'm trying to do. But and it's like a challenge to me in the morning. I'm like, am I going to make it all the way to work without somebody acting stupid? and then when I turn on the street where I go to the parking garage, it's like an all night restaurant on the corner. It's like, I was like, well, if somebody gonna act a fool when I turn the corner, I can't even get to work. It's like, but because I understand this, I have to stay prayed up and know that, man, all I'm just trying to do is get to work. It's a challenge every morning at this time of morning to go down the road and then try to get to a place where you work. Not only just to do all that, then deal with the foolishness at work. It's like, but if you don't have, if you're not ready, amen, like you said, Sheila G, amen, you might say or do something, amen, and the enemy probing, trying to get you, probing you on the way to work, probing you in the morning, like you said, getting the clothes together or the night before, probing, and it'll throw you off. And so now you're not able to perform the assignment or the ministry that God has given you because you're off your game, or you've said something, you've done something that would tell somebody, instead of standing and being a Christian, you acting just like someone that's in the street. But we have to come to a realization, this thing is real. You've got to be ready, because the enemy is like that roaring lion, going to and from the earth, seeking whom he may devour, probing Adam and Eve. And saw Adam, he over there, he like to do this, he like to do that. He got a fine woman. Now God gave him flesh of his flesh, bone of his bone. He's sitting over there, you know, chilling, you know, got this, got that. You know, she over there talking so and so. I ain't worried about it. Instead of getting his behind up and say, well, ho, back off, shorty. You know, God didn't say that. Don't be fronting on my woman, telling her, you know, about God is a lie. You need to step back off. Step off, man. You know, this is what thus said the Lord. Nah, he ain't do that. He's somewhere chilling, neglecting his responsibility. The woman over there running her mouth. Lord have mercy. She got to get these words out. She got so many words she got to get out. So the devil knows she like to talk. Adam ain't talking. You know, he done did his little thing. He like, yeah, I'm true. I'm chilling, right? But hold on a second. You got to protect your woman, man. You got to protect. Nah, he leave her exposed to the enemy, and he comes at her, smooth talk, telling it God's a lie, appealing to the lust of the flesh, the lust of the lust of the eye, and the pride of life. Those things that Satan knows are like kryptonite. Amen. And then here they go, both doing the thing exactly what God said not to do. He said not to do it, but it did it anyway. And that's everybody. That's from the pulpit to the door. The enemy is looking for a way to say, see, I told you, God. You know, they did this, did that. You told them not to do that, and they did it anyway. Amen? Bible said that cursings and blessings shouldn't come out the same mouth. Amen. But here you are, big-time Christian. Somebody to cut you off on the road, and you to lay some four-letter words out. Next thing you know, you repenting, feeling bad. You let blessings and cursings come out your mouth. Yep. And I say all this to say, like Sheila said, you summed it up great. You have to be ready, because the enemy is always probing, always poking, always trying. And here Paul is standing before these clowns time after time after time. But he's standing on the word of God. And even through 2 years of going through that, he's still standing. And all I'm saying is that we too can stand no matter how long it is. The many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers them out of them all. Help me out, Sheila.
Amen. As you were saying that about Paul and he's still standing for 2 years, it made me think, you resist the devil, he has to flee. And the devil is nothing but a big bully. He got some power, but we got power and authority. And if you push back on that big bully, but you got to be ready. Mm-hmm. You got to have equipment. You got to have your whole armor. You got to have something like Jesus did when he was in the wilderness to clap back. Because he's going to clap. Now, look, if he's going after Jesus, you know he's going to go after us. But we have to be equipped to push back against him. And that's what Paul had, even to the point where, somebody slapped him in the mouth that we talked about earlier. Mm-hmm. And he had to, like, you know he wanted to hit him back, but he took a step back, and then God told him, I'm with you, I'm with you. And that's the thing. When we resist the devil, even after Jesus went, when he went through that in the wilderness with Satan, after he resisted him and Satan left him alone, the angels came and ministered to him. So when we go through a trial and tribulation, and hold on to God's unchanging hand, our flesh may be getting his butt kicked, but the Spirit, once we persevere and we get through it, God, that's Holy Spirit, minister unto us. Then we are that much more powerful because we had the victory. Yeah. So the next time Satan comes, we get stronger and stronger. And that's what you see with Paul. Every time they come after him, he has a clapback. He has a clapback. Mm-hmm. Even the last one, where he said, all right, you want to go Caesar, go see Caesar. You know?
He has a
clapback. That is coming from the Holy Spirit, but too often we want to try to clap back in the flesh, and that ain't going to work. That is not going to work.
Amen. Dr. G, you want to add to that?
While you two were talking, I was sitting there thinking about some of my church meetings that I've had to deal with some of those church folk in there, and I knew what pastors go through, But I guess I wasn't thinking that I was going to have to go to. And once I got to New York, the Holy Spirit prepared me, you watch out for this one, you watch out for that one, be prepared for this one over here. And sure enough, I mean, I could write a book about all the ministers that I've been called a liar. They'd rise up against me. And as you said, you know, the flesh wanted to say something back. But the Holy Spirit said, nope, not your time. And so, you know, I had to stand there and take it.
Yes.
And it's not the best feeling, but I tell you what, when you let God work it, persons, all of them had to come back and apologize because it was wrong.
But
that's the way, you know, someone who knows the Lord and got Christ in them. You know, with Paul, Paul could take it because he knew the Lord was going to fight his battle.
Right.
So he wasn't upset. But the Lord never said it was going to be easy. The Lord never said, okay, you know, as Sheila was saying, you know, you push back on the devil. Okay, he'll flee for a bit, but he's going to come back even stronger with something different. So you've got to always be ready for him.
Amen, amen. Let's go to Acts 25. And Sheila was just talking about verse 12, where Paul is dealing with Festus, and he is taken over from Felix, and he couldn't make any heads or tails with Paul. And so Paul says, I haven't done anything. I appeal to Caesar. And so in Acts 25, verse 12, he says, after Festus had conferred with his council, he declared, you have appealed to Caesar. To Caesar you will go. In other words, he was frustrated. And he said, okay, fine. You know, I don't want to look bad because I don't want the Roman authorities coming down on me. And so, again, Paul is going before someone else. This time he's going for a religious leader called King Agrippa. He's under the lineage of Herod. And he has this crazy relationship with his sister. They call it incestuous relationship with his sister. So you're not standing before honorable people. You're not being tried by people that are honorable, but you're being, you know, brought before people that are trifling. Sort of like what's going on in our political and religious arena today. You always got politicians, trifling politicians. You always got trifling religious leaders, and so some kind of way they manipulated and paid their way to the top, and now they're making ungodly decisions, and the godly have to continue to, like you said, clap back, put up a front, stand on the word of God until God has delivered you or allowed them to be used to get people's attention, but God is still in control. And so here Paul goes to another from Felix to Festus, and now he's going to stand before Agrippa and his sister. So in verse 13, he says, a few days later, King Agrippa and Bernice arrived at Caesarea to pay their respects to Festus. So here this King Agrippa, he was the one that was able to appoint priest to the temple. So he was a big wig. He was one of those what you would call he was a big boss. You know, he could make you. He was like, you're a made man with the mafia, or you know, he was a guy that could appoint people to priest, and you know, just be able to manipulate the whole faith. And they're all in cahoots. So you know, every now and then he got to go and break. You know, the Roman governor offer peace, you know, let him know, hey, we're good. You good? Yeah, we good. You know, and, you know, they go pay their respects. And it's just a big game. It's a big racket. Dr. G, you always mentioned all of these ministers' conference and this association, that association. And if you're not in the know with this association or that association, you really don't have any say in the political arena. If you're not in power in this clique or that clique, yeah, you don't have any power in a lot of churches. If you're not in this clique or you're not in that clique, you don't get to benefit here. It's just a big game. And so here Agrippa is going to pay respect to Festus, because Festus is the new governor, so he's trying to, you know, put the shine on him and kiss his behind. So so here they are dealing with Paul. And that's the thing that's really troubling. Take a pause here. Is that these people that are in authority, in religious and political authority, they don't care anything about the people. They just care about power and money. That's all they care about. Yeah. And they give a thinly veiled guys a thinly veil. I mean, it's pretty much see-through. But they tell people what they want to hear. They scratch their itchy ears and they come up with these conspiracy theories to keep you fighting against each other, while they sit back and drink, eat, and be merry, and spend your money. but they don't care. They don't care anything about them. They can care less about the people. They just want to be in power with money. And here you got Agrippa kissing up the Festus, having Paul come before them. And that would be kind of frustrating. That can bring fleshly frustration right there, is that you got these people that don't know God trying to make decisions about your well-being or your faith. And so that's another lesson that we learn from the Bible, is that, you know, you have people that are in these positions, but if you stand on the word of God, even though they're troublesome, even though they're thinly veiled, like they care about you, if you stand on the word of God, what man went for your bad, God can turn it around for your good. What somebody meant for evil, God can turn it around for your good. And you have to know God and understand that God has a purpose for allowing these people to be in these situations, so that he can show himself mighty through you, through the things that he does. But if you don't know the word of God, you'll get frustrated and you'll get upset and anxious and do something that's ungodly. But if you know that if you wait on the Lord and be of good courage, you'll be able to stand the test of time. And it's so important for us to understand that. Sheila G.
As you were thinking about that, that's exactly what happened at New Birth. Before Pastor G was called a pastor, even before he and I started dating, they would call him over there when a regular pastor was there in August during vacation. So they already knew him before the other pastor. Well, the prior pastor, he just quit one day because of this very thing of you had power struggle within the church. Well, before Pastor G became pastor, we didn't know all of that. You know, we would come over there, we would visit, and you would thought everything was wonderful. But what it was is the pastor had become a figurehead because, to your point, there was a power struggle between families. This deacon here, this chairman here, this person had money, this person didn't. So
we
went up in there. He was faced with that. And there were actually times that when the struggle was happening, that we would literally, like we said, be ready. We would literally have to get spiritually ready to walk into that church building, because it was going to be ugly. It was like every Sunday, and it was manipulative ugly. It was kind of like this, where it's kind of undercover, not direct. And it was like, all right, who's going to roll up against the pastor today? And they would cover it, unveiled, to your point, like, well, pastor, the people have a concern, or I have a concern. And they would there right after he preached, right after he just delivered the word, starting stuff. And I would sit there quietly, and I would hear them. I would be sitting in the back because I had all the kids, and I could hear all the murmuring and all the complaining and stupid stuff. This one talking about this family, and why did this person become the head of the choir, and why is this one the chairman? And it was just, like, ugly. But because he stood on the word, all that power struggle, that people that felt like they own the church felt like, okay, we're going to bring this rookie in here because, you know, we know him. He's been over for a few years, and he doesn't know what's going on, not realizing that the pastor that left kind of gave him a little hint, you need to watch out for these people, because I couldn't take it after 15 years. And there was this power struggle. but he had to stand on God's word to the point where he quoted the scripture about doing everything without murmuring and complaining. One time he said, you know what? We are no longer going to say there's a problem. We're going to say it's a situation.
Mm-hmm.
And then he had another time say, if you got a problem, instead of murmuring and gossiping, running back and forth to each other, what I'm saying, you need to take it up with the Holy Spirit. So it was like, we in the church, we in God's house, but you got these power struggles and these families and these cliques and these isms, and to your point of it, it wasn't even veiled. But he had to stand on the word of God, and here it is 28 years later, and I look back on it. That was a hot mess, and there was no way. Walked up into a hot, funky mess, but because he stood on God's word, God got him through it. But it was like two or three times where it just got ugly. But it was just because people were allowing Satan to use them, and the only way to resist that was to stand on the word of God and just say, whatever it is, whether it's two people or 60. Because when it was 60, it was ugly. Because it wasn't a united front. It was 60 people with the crab syndrome.
Yeah, yeah. Dr. G, you want to chime in on that?
Well, to be honest with you, I think Sheila did a good job of telling us.
Amen.
I remember so many of those meetings and those Sundays, and I thank God that the Lord had prepared me. Because I had been in the ministry for a while. I mean, I grew up under Pastor King. First Rock was my first church. So that when I went with White, you know, I was already a well-seasoned minister. And what I learned from White helped me to kind of tip the scale. So, yes, it was all new. But after I got in there, the Spirit revealed some of the mess that was going on. And Sheila was right. You know, there was nothing but a lot of backbiting, people poking fun at one another. And, I mean, one Sunday I was coming out the study getting ready to go into the sanctuary, and I heard a couple of women downstairs in the kitchen gossiping about folks. And I said, Lord, have mercy. So, I had pray hard. I had to stand on the word. And that because I remember the last meeting that we were in, and they wanted to call and have a church meeting. And so we did. And I told Sheila, well, I'm going to have my walk-in papers ready if it gets to that point. I knew it was. And because your mom was there, Sheila was there. And, you know, the meeting went on just like I expected. And her life, I saw Miss Sheila G get upset, and she blessed these people out in a spiritual manner, got up from the table and went upstairs. And so by the time all of that went down, and I finally did get my words in, and I told them, you know, it's apparent that you all really don't want a pastor. You want a figurehead. And if that's what you want, I am not the person for it. So I'm going to turn in my resignation. Sheila and I were getting ready to go on vacation that upcoming Saturday. Got word, one of the last deacons that was always, you know, he knew it all, had passed away. And I had to come back and do the service for him. So God don't play.
No. No, no. It's something. And go ahead, Sheila.
No, I was just saying, Satan will try you, similar to what Paul was saying, but if you stand on God's word, he'll help you to endure. And that's what Paul's going through. It's like, what is wrong with these fools? You know?
But it comes, like you said, in these waves, and then God will give you the relief. But you have to be prepared, like you said, ready for the waves, because they're coming. It's not always going to be sunny. And pleasant with no humidity. There's going to be some heat waves where it's going to feel like you're in a fire. But you have to be like those three Hebrew boys that was in the fiery furnace. That you're in the fire, but you weren't consumed. And I believe the record said that when they came out, that they didn't even smell like smoke. Lord have mercy.
What a saying.
I'm gonna leave that alone. That's good preaching stuff right there. That when you've been through the fire and you understand, amen, that when the king, when the fella looked in, he said, didn't we throw three folk in there? And he looked in there and said, I see four, and one of them looked like the Son of God. Lord have mercy. In other words, that you're in the fire. Amen. You're in the trial, you're in the tribulation, but you're not alone. Lord have mercy. Right. I'm not gonna preach tonight. Amen. But everybody, amen, that knows God, amen, that God has brought you through some fiery situations.
Yeah. Yeah.
And your situation might not be like my situation, but when you know that when you're in the midst of the fire, that God will be with you. Amen. That you can hold on in the midst of the trial, in the midst of the fight, in the church fight, in the personal situation, and all those things, amen. That the God you serve, come on, Paul, amen, will never leave you nor forsake. That is what he said in his word. He said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. So even though you're in the fire, amen, what's going to happen, amen, is that weeping may endure for a night, but somewhere along the line, joy is going to come in the morning. Amen. And when you come out the fire, Lord have mercy, you ain't going to smell like smoke. Amen. And you say, but wasn't he in the fire? Wasn't she in the fire? What, how did they come out still rejoicing? Said that they didn't even smell like smoke. Amen. I'm going to run around here. Sheila, help me out. I'm going to go over here and do a little dance over here and go ahead and help me out here.
Nothing like when God brings you through it. You may get to it, but he's going to bring you through it, and then you're going to look back. That's why they say you live forward and understand backwards, because you can look back and say, when I look back over my life, I can see how you love God in me. Even though I've done wrong, you never left me alone. And you just stand on his word. It may be hot while you're in there, but once he brings you out, you're white as snow.
Man, it was a hot mess. Lord have mercy. And everybody's been in a hot mess.
Yep. Yep.
But you come out, amen, smelling like roses. Come on now. And that's what when you have that relationship, when you know God, amen, you can endure those things. But those fellas had Jesus in the midst of the trial, and they said before they go in, he said, we won't bow down. And even if the Lord doesn't deliver us, I know he's able. Lord have mercy. And when you have I know he's able faith in God, amen. See, the enemy don't like that. He said, Lord have mercy. Didn't I throw them in the fire? But they still praise God. Didn't I bring a challenge, but they still gave God the glory. Didn't I put them in an untenable uncomfortable situation, but they still praise God. And when you have that relationship, then you can tell people, I don't look like what I've been through, because my God has kept me in the midst of all my trials, in the midst of all my tribulation. That's why I still praise God. That's why I still give him the glory. That's why I still want to serve him. That's why I still come to worship every Sunday. That's why I still get on the prayer line. That's why I still get on the Bible study line, because the Lord has shown himself over and over and over again to be the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, to be the great I am that I am. Whatever I need, God says, I am. And when you have that, you can see what Paul is going through. And so when you study the scriptures and you see Paul, that even after he went through one trial, he said, I'm ready to die. He said, if you gonna kill me, that's fine. He said, I'm good with that. But if you bring the charges against me, it's not true, and I'm gonna stand on the truth. And yep. And so here Paul is going through another case. He's pressing forward, and that's when you hear Paul in that book of Philippians say he presses toward the mark for the high calling for the prize which is in Christ Jesus. And all of us are pressing, you know, and pressing means that there's resistance. And,
right.
and when you press, that means that you're pressing against the resistance. And I think that tonight, I know we only went over one verse tonight, but you have to keep pressing, because there's going to be resistance. And then the only way you can get to that mark is to keep pressing. And we see Paul keep pressing, because truly this is a faith journey, and you have to continue to lean on your faith. You have to continue to pull on your past victory. You have to continue to understand that the Holy Spirit will keep you in the midst of all of this stuff. And we have to encourage and help each other. This is what this Bible study does, is encouraging and helping each other. This is what worship does. It encourages and helps us. This is what our private time with God does. It helps each other because we're all in the body of Christ trying to carry out the work of the Lord. But there's times where you get down, sometimes where you get beat up, times where you don't feel like it, times when you feel like throwing in a trial, sometimes when you feel like turning in your letter of resignation. But God knows, and He'll put people in your life. He'll put things in your path that will help you get through. And you know, that's where we are tonight, Sheila G.
Amen, amen. That's why we talked about, we started off saying you got to be ready so you can be there, so you can be ready for whatever comes up against you. But that is how you get ready, is through prayer, private time, Bible study, fellowshipping with one another, church, so that when He comes at you, you're ready.
Amen. So maybe we'll ask that question tonight. Are you ready? Are you ready? I'm going to go to the first caller. Let me know if you're ready. Not ready on your own power, but in the power of the Lord. That's when that Ephesians 6:10 said, be strong in the Lord in the power of His might. So we're going to ask that question. First caller, 1741, are you ready? God bless.
Good evening. God bless you all. Yes, I am ready, and I thank God for the power of the Holy Spirit that keeps me ready. And every day I thank God for giving me His strength, because it's through Him that I move and I have my very being. And so I thank God tonight that it's only by Him that I can be victorious. I can't do anything in my own strength, but by the strength of the Lord Jesus Christ that keeps me going day by day. And, Pastor, when you all were talking about the Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, in the fiery furnace, thinking about this scripture in Isaiah, and I just want to share with you all Isaiah 43:2, where it says, when thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee, and through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. And we thank God for that blessed assurance.
Yes.
His promises that no matter what we go through in life, and even though some days it look like our knees might buckle, might look like we might become a little weak and weary, but as we keep holding on to God's unchanging hand, He's going to get us through. He's going to give us enough strength to get through this journey. He's going to see us through. So I thank God for the blessing, and I thank God for Jesus. Because if it wasn't for Jesus dying for us and for our sins, giving us that blessed hope and leaving the Holy Spirit with us, we would not be here today. We could not make it. So I just thank God for the power of His Holy Spirit and His darling Son, Jesus. Yes, I am ready. And I know with the help of the Lord Jesus Christ, He's going to see me through. Because this is just the beginning.
Amen.
This is yet to come.
Yes, it is.
Amen. 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 Thank you for your comment tonight. Here we go to our next call. Last four digits, 8760. 8760. Good evening.
Good evening. I feel like previously I was ready, but now that I have reached another level, I'm being hit with a different devil, so I feel like the Lord is getting me ready all over again, so that I can conquer the devils that I'm gonna get in the new level. So I was ready when I was lower down, but now that I'm higher up a little bit, I feel like the Lord is getting me ready day by day. for, you know, for being at the higher level.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you for your comment tonight. We're going to go to our next caller. Last four digits, 7611. 7611, good evening.
Good evening.
Good evening.
Sometimes I be on the wagon and riding, and I say I am on the wagon. I'm ready. And then I get weak, and I fall off the wagon. But every time I fall down on it, you and Rev Sister bring me, put me back on the wagon. And I'm ready for it this morning.
All right, now.
Whatever devil comes to me, I'm going to be standing waiting on him.
All right,
I
now.
I get off the wagon, but I'm getting back on the wagon. I'm going to stay with the Lord on the way. I ain't going to let him go to get me down no more.
Amen.
Thank
Amen.
The Lord today. Amen.
Amen. Thank you for your comment tonight. I'm going to go to our next caller. Last four digits. 1411. 1411. Good evening.
Good evening, everybody. I'm definitely more ready now than I was this time last year, but I definitely know I'm a work in progress. But, you know, as I've stated before, the process remains the same. You know, I'm going to go through some adversities, trials, and tribulations, but as long as I turn it over to God and lean on God and his resources to give me strength, it will only make me stronger for the next level that we're all going to be prepared to face up until the day that we go home to be with the Lord. So I'm not a finished product yet, but I'm definitely more ready now than I was a couple months ago last year. But again, we have to continue to put that work in because God does but so much, but we have to make sure that we do our part and we remain consistent with the Lord. Amen.
Amen.
Man, thank you for your comment tonight. We're going to go to our next caller. Last four digits, 7971. 7971. Good evening.
Good evening, everyone. Good evening. I can say that I am ready. I'm ready. I am ready. God has been so good to me, and he has confirmed in my life that I have totally submitted my life to him, and he's been so good to me. How can I not say that I am not ready for my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ because of what he has done for me, the promises he has given me, the comfort that he has given me, and regardless of how bad a situation might be, he always prepares me for it. That little voice talks to me all the time, and I love him. You have to know him to get that kind of relationship with God, and I'm so pleased that I don't try to hold it up all for myself. I can share it with others and prepare others where they won't make mistakes and they will follow God's word and receive all of the blessings that he says that are ours. It's a good feeling to know how good God is and receive good blessings when you need them. And I tell my sister all the time, I don't want nothing. I don't need nothing. I'm all his. And he has proven to me that I am all his because he's so good. God is so good. And I can relate to everything that you all have discussed today. And if you didn't know the Lord, you would get really hurt bad and turn away. But you know better. You know better because you reflect back to what God went through to get where he did for us. And when you can withstand the storms that are thrown at you down through your journey and come out smelling like a rose with a smile on your face, it doesn't get any better than that. It doesn't, but I am truly... ready.
Amen.
Giving it to me.
Amen.
And I thank God for it every day. And I thank God for you all for being here every Thursday night preparing us to stay ready. Thank you very much. You all be blessed.
Amen. God bless
you. Amen. Thank you. Thank you for your comment tonight. And it's important to be ready. And in the book of Romans, Paul he's announced he was ready. I believe it's Romans, first chapter, verse 15. He says, so as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome. And then this is his, as you transition from the book of Acts and him going through judgment hall to judgment hall, Paul is on his way to Rome to preach the gospel. So as we end studying the book of Acts, you'll pick up what Paul was doing in the book of Romans as he went to the stand before the Roman court system. And so he was ready in that one, that Romans first chapter, verse 15, he's ready. So as we're finishing up the book of Acts, it's leading to the story of Paul being at Rome. And he said, I'm ready to preach the gospel. And so that's how, you know, the Spirit has led us. Are we ready? Are we ready to preach the gospel? Are we ready to let whosoever will know, you know, that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. And this is the thing about being ready. It's like God will get you ready. God will prepare you. And you have to open your mouth and let the Holy Spirit speak. And when that happens, that's God saying, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. And we're pleasing in the sight of God. When we stand on the word of God and we preach his word and we teach his word and we live his word so that others might come to know him as Lord and Savior of their lives. Sheila G., any last comment? You want to close us out in a word of prayer?
I will close us out in a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank you once again for another excellent Bible study lesson. Now, Father, I pray that you will help each and every one of us to continue to grow in our relationship with you so that we can be ready for whatever Satan throws at us, Lord. Continue to prepare us. Continue to show us the way. And continue to allow us to be a light that shines for others. In your precious name we do pray. Amen.
Amen. All right. That's going to do it for us tonight. Prayerfully, we'll see you again on next Thursday night. Good night.